Keyser's first duty was to report to Governor Paulus Peterzoon van de Witten. They were old comrades and shared many secrets. Van de Witten was a tall, dyspeptic-looking man of not yet 40. His father and grandfather before him had been members of Het Zeventien in Amsterdam, and his wealth and power were considerable. Very soon he would return to Holland and take his seat on the board of the VOC, as long as there were no blemishes on his career or reputation. The activities of this English bandit might conceivably leave such a stain on his reputation. Colonel Keyser described in detail the crimes against the property and dignity of the VOC perpetrated by the youngest Courtney. Slowly he stoked the flames of the governor's outrage, repeatedly hinting at Van der Witten's own responsibility in the affair. Their discussion lasted several hours, helped along by the consumption of quantities of Holland's gin and French claret. Finally, Van der Witten capitulated and agreed that the VOC would offer a reward of 15,000 guilders for the capture of Louisa Leufen and James Archibald Courtney, or for positive proof of their execution. The placing of rewards on the heads of criminals who had fled the colony was a long-established practice. Many of the hunters and traders who had licenses to leave the colony supplemented their profits with bounty money for the VOC. Keyser was well pleased with this result. It meant that he was not obliged to risk a single guilder of his own carefully accumulated fortune to contribute to the bounty he had agreed with Captain Kurtz. That same night, Kurtz visited him in the little cottage in the lane behind the company gardens. Keyser advanced him 400 guilders to cover the costs of provisioning the expeditionary force that was to pursue Jim Courtney. 5 days later, a small party of travellers assembled on the banks of the Eerste River, the first river after leaving the colony. They had come separately to the meeting place. There were four white men: Captain Kurtz, with his pale eyes and colourless hair, his skin reddened by the sun; Sergeant Odermann, bald but with heavy drooping moustaches; Kurtz's right-hand man and accomplice; Corporals Richter and Lariche, who hunted together like a pair of wild dogs. Then there were five Hottentot troopers, including the notorious Hoffel, who was the interpreter, and Trier, the bushman tracker. None of them wore VOC military uniform. They were dressed in the coarse homespun and leather of the Cape Burghers. Trier's loincloth was made of tanned springbuck skin, decorated with beads of ostrich eggshell and Venetian trade beads. Over his shoulders he carried his bow and bark quiver of poisoned arrows, and round his waist a belt hung with an array of charms and buckhorns filled with magical and medical potions, powders and unguents. Kurtz swung into the saddle and looked down at Clear, the bushman. "Take the spoor, you little yellow devil, and drink the wind." They followed Clear in single file, each trooper leading a spare horse that carried a pack saddle. "Courtney's spoor will be many weeks old before we cut it again." Kurtz watched Clear's bare back and peppercorned head bobbing along ahead of his horse's nose. "But this hunting dog is a shaitan. He could follow a snowball through the fires of hell." Then he let himself savour the thought of the warrant in his saddlebag, signed by Governor van der Witten, and the prospect of 15,000 guilders in gold. He smiled. It was not a pretty smile.